water. Something make creative impasse. Good morning, friends. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol McKippen.
We are the Saturday Morning Show here for you for the next 2 hours, 6 until 8. After that, Green Planet Monitor and then Mud Puddle Radio. And, of course, all our shows archived when everything's working for at least 6 weeks. So if you can't listen now, listen then, tell your friends. But we always start with the weather. We'll get you to the weather if we can in just a minute. And then we want to turn to your easy listening hit parade. We're working our way through the 40s and 50s now. If I said to you the Four Aces, you'd say there were a lot of bands with the word four in them, wasn't there, way back when? And there were usually four of them.
Tell me why, though I try to forget, tell me why I think of you yet. I know I'll never be free. What has happened to me? Tell me why. When we danced until three, tell me why my heart couldn't see. I never dreamed of romance, never gave it a chance. When I think of how you looked that day in your gown of silk and lace, should have known the day you came my way that this was the time and the place. Tell me why I keep fooling my heart when I know it was love from the start. Why don't we give it a try? If you know, tell me why. When I think of how you looked that day in your gown of silk and lace, should have known the day you came my way that this was the time and the place. Tell me why I keep fooling my heart when I know it was love from the start. Why don't we give it a try? If you know, tell me why.
Tell you because Four Aces.
There was something about that that sounded a bit like "There I Said It Again."
Well, it sounded like a lot of things, didn't it?
Yeah,
I'm just looking at your easy listening hit parade. Yes, Four Aces, featuring Al Alberts. Actually, their first hit was "Sin." You can't go wrong with a title like that right away. People sold a million copies in 1951. Four Aces proved their success. No fluke. Second million seller, Tell Me Why. Song written by lead singer Al Alberts, who also played piano, worked with several Philadelphia bands. And this recording by Alberts and his partners, Dave Mahoney, Lou Silvestri, and Saul Vaccaro, confirmed early evidence for Aces' sound. The harmonizing, the beat, the stretched ending would inspire a whole new group of era of group singing in the 50s. You got your Four Aces, you got your Four Lads, you got your
Right.
Eventually, we got the... By the time we're through, we're up to the Four Seasons. Yeah.
All right.
At 6:05. And I thought we'd take a break from Age Only Matters If You're a Cheese, because I was in a charity shop the other day. I had to elbow a granny out of the way for this. I always have a quotation for everything. It saves original thinking. That's the title of the book.
I see.
And it is a quote.
Okay, yes.
By Dorothy L. Sayers.
Uh-huh.
And this was a gift. I won't use all the names because who knows if they're out there. And someone will say, this is only from 2022, and you gave it away to a charity shop?
Oh, dear.
Anyways, to my favorite brother-in-law, Dad used to call you his favorite son-in-law. And there's a quote that they printed it. And he's, first, he drew lines. So you don't see that very often, someone willing or unable to draw a print in a straight line across it. Anyways, There are bold pilots, there are old pilots, but there are no old bold pilots.
Well, I've heard you say that one before.
Well, we have. I got that from Wayne Ralph, of course, who trained pilots on the Tudor jets.
Right.
In Moose Jaw. And there's a Wayne Ralph quote for you. He said, they called Moose Jaw after the wrong part of the moose's anatomy.
Bad.
Anyways, so there we are, collection of quotable quotes. And well, wait a minute. I think we should give you at least one more from... Here we are. I quoted this to you yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
last night.
I'm listening. Yes?
If love is the answer, could you rephrase the question? Lily Tomlin.
Of course.
That's enough quotes.
Yes.
Now let's quote the weather. Carolyn Kippen.
Well, it's 2 degrees, although I think at our house, didn't it say 6?
Something like that.
In any case, it's chilly out there. Or as we heard when it was even warmer one time years ago in Dublin, it's bleeping freezing out there. But it just feels chilly to me.
Exactly. Well,
yeah.
Be honest, we drove.
Okay. Let's be honest. We've got some errands to do.
And we're avoiding downtown later after 11 o'clock.
Yes,
I'll tell you about that in a minute. I have it here in my hand. I hold it in my hand from Herr Hitler.
No. Okay. Should I let people know what the weather is
before? I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
2 degrees currently. Barometric pressure 100.9 and falling. Humidity 94%. Wind coming from the east northeast at 14. Mainly cloudy this morning, well, all day, let's say, because rain is going to start, it says here, around noon, Ron. You told me 10. Wind coming from the east at 20 and a high today of 7. And the normals at this time of year are -2. So we're way above. And Ron's busy, busy working away. At
one more time, what's the current weather?
The current 2 degrees.
2 degrees.
Yes.
At 6:08.
Yes. And it's going to rain later, if you want that information again.
Right. Santa Claus Parade.
Yes.
5 o'clock. Talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but I'll turn to Vic Dickinson. Died on this day in 1984, American jazz trombonist. Wow. His career began in the 1920s. Continued through musical partnerships. Count Basie, 40-41. Sidney Bechet, 1941. Earl Hines, played with the Biggies. And what we have, as I say, continued right through because he was a member of the world's greatest jazz band. You can't go wrong with a name like that.
That's
chutzpah is
I'll
what that say. Is. They were the house band at the Roosevelt Grill in New York City. And he also performed the same venue in a smaller group that featured him alongside trumpeter Bobby Hackett. I think we have Hackett on this coming up. And, of course, Mr. Dickinson is in the photograph.
The photograph.
The photograph, Art Kane's photograph, A Great Day in Harlem.
Wow.
So this morning, I went to the basement and I found our world's greatest jazz band of Yank Lawson, Bob Haggart, In Concert, Volume 1.
Yes.
Massey Hall. Vic Dickinson on trombone here.
Okay.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to bring back now Bobby Hackett to do a quintet number with Vic Dickinson in the rhythm section. If you knew Susie like I knew Susie. Thank you.
Greatest jazz band recorded, Toronto at Massey Hall in 1972. Yank Lawson on trumpet with that band, Bobby Haggard, bass, Bud Freeman, tenor sax, Bob Wilbur, clarinet, soprano sax, Vic Dickinson, trombone, Eddie Hubble, trombone, Ralph Sutton, piano, Gus Johnson Jr. on drums, Bobby Hackett, guest artist on cornet. There you go, Neil. Jazz people like it when you read all the names and what they
were
playing.
That's true.
Who's playing? Who's on that? Yep. Yeah. Are you sure with that? He was on that session? Yes, all right.
Right.
At 6:13.
Yes.
I'm just thinking, we've been talking. We said we were very careful where we parked. Got to park before Memorial Boulevard.
That's right.
I know that's going to be shut down starting at about 11 a.m. there, Carol McKibben, today, yesterday's Free Press.
Yes, I think so. Yes, road closures begin at 11 and end at 10 o'clock tonight.
Hokey crokey. So yep. Think twice about the right, the heart of downtown.
Yep, that's right. So Portage Avenue in both directions between Main and Memorial.
Right you are.
Okay. Portage Avenue East from Main to Westbrook. But I have a funny feeling it's closed anyways. Southbound Main from Portage to York. And Memorial in both directions between Broadway and Portage. So then I think you've got to run down.
There goes our protest. We won't be able to protest.
What were you going to protest?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I just thought we'd march down there. Santa. We could protest Santa.
What?
We want more presents, bigger presents. My father used to say he want more beer, better beer, and in bigger bottles.
Oh, I see. So you want more presents, bigger presents.
That'd be good. More often. We should have Christmas often. Twice a year.
We do have Christmas twice a year. We celebrate Christmas in July at your brother's place.
That's right, you're right, too. Okay,
yes.
Never mind.
Okay.
I have nothing to protest whatsoever.
Yes.
I'm happy.
Thrilled with your...
I am content.
Okay.
Put that in the quotation book.
Okay. There's somebody they were interviewing yesterday on CBC, and he asked his band, "Are you happy?" "Yeah, we're all happy." "We can't be more happy. Like if we quit now and everybody's happy."
Right.
Then,
good idea.
Yeah, you can't be more happy than you already are.
They launched into, "I want to be happy, but I can't be happy till I make you happy too."
Okay, so here's a rundown. Let's look at Edmonton, Vaughan, all other north south streets between Main and Memorial.
Get it. Yeah.
Will all be it says open to local and parkade access only between Ellis but Edmonton, Vaughan, that sort of thing from Graham to Portage, closed.
I think what we're saying is avoid the
heart
of downtown.
It's going to be a lot. Just don't go downtown.
Because
unless you park like here where we are and take your kiddies for Santa.
Because he's coming to town 5 o'clock. Look over there. I see him. I thought it was like a big shadow.
You
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Coming to town. Now Santa is a busy man. He has no time to play. He's got millions and millions of stockings to fill on Christmas Day. You better write your letter now and make it right away. Because he's getting ready, his reindeer and his sleigh. Look out, look out, look out, he's coming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Little tin horns, little toy drums, a rooty toot toot and a rummy tum tum. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's got curly head dolls that collar and coo. Elephants both and kitty cars too. Santa Claus is coming to town. The kids in girl and boy land will have a jubilee. They're gonna build a toy land all around the Christmas tree. So you better watch out, don't cry, don't pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. I said Santa Claus is coming to town. He's coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's gonna be bringing toys and goodies and all them little pretty playthings for you kids. You better be good, you better be cool. Don't blow it, be good now, 'cause he's coming to town.
He is indeed 5 o'clock today. Remember that piece that was in the Free Press last week, because you can join them downtown. All the details, MB Hydro Santa Parade, one word, mbhydrosantaparade.com, or you can call, I wonder what you would get, 204-77-SANTA. You don't get to talk to Santa, no, I'm sorry, just information on the parade today, because right. There okay. are street parties, etc.
Yeah, et cetera, don't et cetera. Phone thinking you're going to get Hello. Santa on the line.
Go ahead, you're on the line. Santa here.
No, or any of his elves. Yes.
You never know if Santa will show up at CBC. I know I don't know. CBC doesn't seem to know either, so no. Just all we can do is wait.
Take it as it comes.
Make a small burnt offering, I would think.
What?
Sometime in December.
Okay. All right.
Light a candle. 619. Looking at the Winnipeg Free Press book pages for today. And lo and behold, unfortunately, our internet is down here, so I can't play some of the things we would normally play, and it includes the ID from Darren Bernhardt about his new book, Periodities, but it's reviewed in today's Winnipeg Free Press.
Oh,
nice picture, Percy Moggy, from the side and from the front. You know what that means? The police took it. That's what that means.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, for good reason, though.
Periodities, Pumpkinhead, Peculiar Gravities, and More Less Known Histories. Darren Bernhardt, reviewed by Mary Horodisky, she says. Oddities about the city and surrounding area. Now you, too, can know the relationship between Winnipeg and Bugs Bunny, or why you weigh less in Churchill.
What?
For example, there's, well, Rudolph
it,
the Reindeer,
moving.
Criminal Adventures of Percy Moggy, Houdini of Prison Breakouts, who left candy in trees and has been called Manitoba's Jesse James. So sidebars in the book, too, of course, eliminating firsts. Ah, and she says there's a small couple of quibbles among the impressive lists of firsts Bernhardt provides. Wab Canoe is noted as the first Indigenous premier.
Uh-oh.
Well, we know better.
Yes.
Because we went to the cemetery, then we saw the big yep. headstone for John Norquay, who was a Métis man elected in 1878.
Right.
So that makes Canoe actually the First Nations Anishinaabe specifically
right.
premier. little touches. Anyway, this woman who reviewed is an archivist, etc. So regardless, all readers and armchair researchers will be rewarded with some delightful hours in this book. Amongst the pages filled with facts and photos gathered from a remarkable array of sources. Like I said, it's like salted peanuts. So yeah. If you live in Winnipeg, if you used to live in Winnipeg, if the post office was working, you could buy a copy and mail it to someone for Christmas.
Well, maybe the strike won't last too long. I certainly hope it doesn't, because I had some mail that had to get out.
There you go. Never mind Christmas cards.
Who knows what's going
to
happen.
We may have to do everything online. Also reviewed, Louise Penny's The Grey Wolf. Her latest, reviewed by Nick Martin, The Eve of Doomsday in Quebec. Well, that could be any day, I suppose. Where everyone will die screaming and the rest of Canada will beg for a megalomaniacal, savior to strip us of our rights. If that's what it takes to be spared the same ghastly fate. Unless, of course, Armand Gamache can once again thwart evil. And then Nick Martin writes, oh dear. Yeah. So the latest, The Grey Wolf, Louise Penny. It's a confusing plot. Three lead characters never being sure exactly what they're uncovered and what the faceless villains intend to do. So he finishes by saying, advice to Krista Freeland. Before calling your lawyer, check that disclaimer at the front of the book about no resemblances to anyone living or dead. All a coincidence, made the whole thing up, etc. Reviewed in today's Winnipeg Free Press. By the way,
yes.
As well, note here in the paperback column, I guess, paper chase column, Winnipeg music historian John Einerson hosts another pair of reading signings this week in support of his book Words and Music, The Stories Behind the Books. Wednesday, he'll be at the Millennium Library. That's on Donald Street, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. And next Saturday, the 23rd, he'll visit the Charles Wood Library, from 2 to 3 p.m. John, a million stories, that man, a million stories. Carol McKibben, time to for you to put on, if you'll just, I think we can pick the ancient radio waves up this morning from the fillings in your teeth, actually. If you just give us a big smile.
I've had a bad week with my mouth.
I'll see what I can do about bringing in ancient radio waves.
We're proud of the Blue Bomber name, so proud of its glory and fame. We're best in the West, and we'll take on the rest when we get to the East-West game. Fight, fight!
A Winnipeg football fan by the name of Craig expressed those feelings for his team back in the mid-40s. Thousands upon thousands of people of all ages from all walks of life have repeated those sentiments over and over again ever since. But the excitement, the drama, and the thrills of Winnipeg football teams that have performed for half a century started long before that. On this recording, hopefully, we'll help to recall some of the games and the names, the plays and the days of our football club's history, a football club second to none in Canada. Let's go back to the very beginning with the memories of one of the original Winnipeg football players, one of the first Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the man who wore sweater number one, Lou Rosie Edelman.
Well, I played all the way from 24 to 25 when we went east to Ottawa and got beat 28-1 with guys like Harold Ross was our coach, and Dick Buckingham, and Lion Van Vliet, and Charlie Consell, Johnny Lang, and Eddie Grant, and guys like Jack Miller, Jack McMahon, Howard Murphy, and then played all the way through with the Bombers 31, 32, and then in 33 we won the Western title and lost to the Argos in 1933. That's the time we had Cronin and Rebholz on the team. Then we went east, and Joe Ryan became manager, and that's when we got the title Blue Bombers.
A young newspaper reporter covered those early years of football on his way to becoming sports editor of the Winnipeg Free Press. Morris Smith looks back at a favorite early highlight.
I guess it was way back in 1933, Cliff, that I first became interested in football. That was the year when the Winnipegs, now known as the Blue Bombers, began to establish themselves as a Canadian football power. With such import stars as Notre Dame graduate Carl Cronin as playing coach, Russ Rebholz of Wisconsin tossing passes, and Greg Cabat, also of Wisconsin, doing the kicking, the Pegs won the Western Championship for the first time. I can still remember that final game against Calgary Altomas. It was played in a driving snowstorm at Old Carruthers Park on North Main Street. The Winnipegs won it 15-1, but the victory didn't put them in the Grey Cup final. They had to play the Toronto Argonauts in a semifinal match and were unfortunately beaten 13-0, mostly because they had to wait around for more than a month after winning the Western title before they went east to play the Argos.
Back in the middle of the dirty 30s, Winnipeg's football team was just that, the Winnipegs. It wasn't very imaginative. But junior sports writer for the Winnipeg Tribune, Vince Leah, was.
In 1935, I think it was early September, we had a unique arrangement at the Tribune. I was keeping an eye on the team, which practiced in the evenings at Old Osmond Stadium. And Joe Ryan, who was the general manager, asked me if I'd like to see their new uniform. So he brought out this solid blue outfit with large gold numerals and solid gold helmets. They were most impressive looking. And I went my way, he went his. I came back to the office to write an advance for their opening exhibition game of the season against Concordia College of Moorhead, Minnesota. And it's probably influenced by the fact at that time Joe Louis was the reigning heavyweight boxing champion of the world, and he had been tagged as the Brown Bomber by the late Grantlin Rice, and I sat down with my trusty old typewriter in the sports department, and I banged out the Blue Bombers of Western football, and it stuck. It's been here ever since.
Now, the Blue Bombers have had their share of superstars over the years, but perhaps their biggest one was their first one. December 7th, 1935, Grey Cup Day in Hamilton. The weather was miserable, but while Tigers slithered and slid and fell on their faces, Fritzy Hansen galloped by like a frightened gazelle.
Yeah, I seem to have a particularly good day with the footing there. I know that even at halftime, the referees came in and Hamilton were protesting, saying that I must have some special cleats on. And so they came in and examined my cleats, and they were exactly the same as everybody else's, so I guess we were all right. But, I was fairly light and could run pretty fast, and that was at the, a muddy field like that seemed to be kind of made to order for me.
Some called Fritzy the Golden Ghost, and that was the afternoon he started haunting Eastern football.
I think at one time, Eddie Armstrong or something, well, he says we got the golden boy on top of the Parliament building, so we got the Golden Ghost on the in Osborne Stadium. I think that was probably how that nickname particularly came about. And then, of course, the other one that they use a lot was Twinkle Toes.
Another Winnipeg sports reporter on his way to fame and recognition across Canada recalls that star and that team's early victory as more than a football victory. Here's sports authority and columnist Jim Coleman.
The 50-year success story of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers is, in reality, a glowing tribute to the indomitable spirit of the people of Winnipeg. Never was a sporting enterprise conceived in such inauspicious circumstances. In 1930, Winnipeg had been knocked to its knees by the first shock wave of worldwide economic depression. And while suddenly jobless Winnipeggers prepared desperately to withstand the disaster which was sweeping this great land, the football team was born. By 1931 and 32, Winnipeg's economy virtually was prostrate. Of all Canadian cities, Winnipeg suffered most from the Depression. Thousands of jobless were fed at soup kitchens. Many an entire family existed on a relief handout of only $12.50 per month. But somehow, the football team struggled on. As the dust rolled in from the cropless prairies of the West, life for most Winnipeggers in the early 1930s was a daily battle for survival. But survive they did, never abandoning the hope that some miracle would end that depression. Now, I believe sincerely it was the Winnipeg Blue Bombers' victory in the Grey Cup game of 1935 which ignited a real beacon of hope on the prairies. It was a tremendously emotional event, uplifting the spirits of every Winnipegger and, indeed, every Westerner. If we could beat the East in football, there was no doubt that we could beat this economic depression. For that reason, those players of 1935 always should be remembered gratefully. There were the eight imports, Bob Fritz, Bert Oja, Fritz Hansen, Greg Cabot, Russ Rebholz, Bud Marquardt, Herb Peschel, and Joe Perpich. And there were the native Canadians, Rosie Adelman, Eddie James, Bill Soretti, Eddie Kushner, Lou Mogul, Jeff Nicklin, Cliff Roseborough, Arnie Coulter, Herb Moberly, Slush Harris, Tubber Kobrinsky, Dick Lane, Eric Law, John Patrick, Nick Pagonis, and old Dave Harding. I was there 50 years ago when it began. I look back with affection for those football players who made us so proud and who brought us pleasure and hope. And I look back with love for Winnipeg, the city where the qualities of the heart always have been cherished far more than material success.
The Blue Bombers. The words there of Jim Coleman from something that CGOB put out on the 50th anniversary of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Jim Coleman, a great sports writer, of course. And speaking of football, of course, Grey Cup Sunday. That's tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Winnipeg, Blue Bombers to take on the Toronto Argonauts. Brady Oliveira, of course, most outstanding player, most outstanding Canadian. That's
right.
Official.
Yes.
And I see the Winnipeg Free Press talk to Chris Walby.
Oh, yes.
Joe Popolowski and Doug Brown. Is it a destiny? Is it a dynasty?
A dynasty, yeah. It depends on if they win tomorrow, maybe.
Well, going to the Grey Cup 5 times in a row.
Well, that's okay.
I think that's pretty much something.
That seals the dynasty.
Winnipeg Jets play the Florida Panthers tonight at 6. The American Hockey League, the Manitoba Moose, took on the Rockford Ice Hogs last night. And they were down 1-0 when I left them. Play Chicago Wolves tonight at 7. And I see something here from, yes, University Football from the Winnipeg Free Press. National semifinals. So the UTEC Bowl, Wilfrid Laurier be at Bishop's, 11 a.m. This morning, which was the alma mater, as you know, of Tanner Cadwallader, number 47, who plays for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yes, Laurier.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll be watching Tanner. A couple of times we've said it before on the warm-ups when the boys all come out. Tanner seems to do a lot of talking, but the other boys are stretching and running. So, you know, if Tanner would apply himself, does this sound like the old high school, report card?
Yes. It certainly sounds like every single one of mine.
Right. Mitchell Bowl, Laval at Regina. For the Canada West there, 2 p.m. The national championship will be Sunday, November 23rd, the 59th Vanier Cup at Kingston, Ontario. In other words, the UTEC versus the Mitchell Bowl winners, noon on next Saturday, the 23rd.
Okay, so I've got my bomber gear on.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm putting my Banjo Bowl t-shirt on.
Oh, excellent.
But it has to be for tomorrow, I think.
Oh, okay.
Be a Ooga Booga. You know,
I see. Well,
I'm turning around 3 times and spitting. Yeah.
I wore my bomber gear last Saturday because we were going to the West Final.
Exactly.
And we went in for breakfast and it worked. See?
Yes.
And we went in for breakfast after the show.
And the lights were blotted out by some very large men coming in.
Wearing green and white. Six or seven members of the Rough Riders came in and ordered their breakfast.
So I had the waitress slip a little something in their food. And it paid off big time, boys and girls. Yep. They went home boo-hoo, and we're off to the Grey Cup.
Yeah. They had, you know, I always order juice because I'm not a coffee person. And so I always get my juice in a nice big cup. And I noticed they gave the Rough Riders a stemmed glass for their orange juice.
Dainty, those great big beefy types.
Well, first
of all,
I was surprised he was having orange juice, not coffee. But still, well, I don't.
Didn't
Why
help him,
he?
Did it? No.
It didn't.
Remember, wasn't the captain, but it might have been Danny Finkelman used to do.
Right.
A discussion of different snacks.
Oh,
salted
yes. Oh,
this
for
and
sure.
Salted that and sugar this and sugar that.
Yep. Cherry Coke. Yep.
Yeah, Cherry Coke. Refused to. No wonder he's not on the air anymore. At 6:35. So returning now.
Yes.
Your problems solved.
Oh, good.
Dear Mary from the pages of The Spectator from 12th of July, 2003. Dear Mary, question. On doctor's orders, I've recently had to lay off some of my favorite foods. Here it is.
Oh, there it is.
Bread. Shepherd's pie, spaghetti carbonara, etc. Would it be polite to refuse a dinner invitation when I know that the food served won't agree with me, especially as if it's to a celebratory party for an old friend I used to run around with, who is shortly to come out of prison? It must have been Jeffrey Archer with me.
Maybe, yeah.
Worried, signed, address withheld. Answer. Well, Mary always has an answer. Invitations to the party you mention are highly sought after for a number of reasons. There is no need for you to refuse yours, since, given that the new social equation is self-discipline / neurotic equals A-list, you can guarantee that a good third of your fellow guests will be following weirdo exclusion diets. You can bond with these others as you all brazenly eat just the toppings and the salad and flatter yourselves as you do so by discussing the health advantages. Getting a little finicky there, a little hissy fit from Mary. But I quite understand, Mary, yes. If someone tries to pull the hot dog out of my hand at 6:37...
I was on soup all week.
Yes, and how are you feeling now?
Something much
more
better.
Substantial for breakfast?
Yeah, it's not completely better. I had a...
abscess.
Well, we went into emergency, humana abscess, so I...
Yep.
Can't remember what on earth it was.
Abscess makes the heart grow fonder. That's what I find.
Yep. Not exactly.
How many hours were we at the emergency?
Seven.
Six or seven. Yep. And you are surrounded by moaning and despair.
Yeah, well.
So better to go to your dentist early.
There was somebody throwing up.
Yeah, trying to. But it turned out fine.
Yes.
And I did offer to pull that tooth with the string and the door handle as the pharmacist guessed. I didn't even have to say that. The pharmacist said, yeah. So... 6:38 then. Speaking of Wilfrid Laurier.
Yes.
On October 29th, Wilfrid Laurier University announced that the school had awarded Winnipeg-based doctor and author Gillian Horton an honorary degree of letters.
Aww.
Horton's memoir, We Are All Perfectly Fine, published in 2021, debut book, one of two winners of the Eileen McTavish Sykes Award for Best Book at the 2022 Manitoba Book Awards. Well, it is in the Winnipeg Public Library, a memoir of love, medicine and healing. There are 16 copies, and also a library Libby ebook and a library audio book there.
Mm.
We remember Gillian Horton because we interviewed her, and she wrote this song, which is autobiographical.
Right.
And we ran out of time playing it a week or so back, so we felt bad and thought we should play the entire song today.
Okay.
He said he didn't want to go to Winnipeg, that he couldn't chase a girl to Winnipeg. And he said that if I went, that I'd go alone. And he said he couldn't trade his friends and great career for a place you only see the sun once a year. And he said he never would have come to care for me if he'd only known. And he said that I must understand his point of view. Surely you do. He said that I was asking him to do something he just couldn't. Thank you. said I wouldn't go to Winnipeg. Said I'd stay and we could work it out. I'd get by somehow. And he laughed and said he wants to go anyway. Well, it's so damn cold. And when he came to take my arm, I turned away. He said, babe, you know, we really ought to celebrate. You're a lucky girl, 'cause I can buy you.
Jillian Horton to you, from her CD, Jillian Horton,
the
graduate of Wilfrid Laurier, along with Tanner Cadwallader. There you go.
Well, I don't know if it was the same year or same faculty,
no.
But they use her on CBC radio from time to time on national shows when they need a medical expert.
Right.
Yeah. So she's well thought of.
6:44.
Yep.
What about the jumble? Free Press, MBLUJ.
Jumble.
When you're feeling low, jumble.
Do you want the first one or the second one?
I don't care. I'll take the hard one. I haven't even
looked at them. I don't know that either of them are very
good.
Hard. Okay. O-I-G-G-N.
Going?
Yeah.
Right you are.
See?
Moving right along then.
If that was the difficult one, then.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
had a bit of coffee,
about.
You see.
Yeah.
Coffee. So
you've
Turner.
You've had coffee, haven't you? What?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Turner Classic Movie Channel
yes.
for today.
Yes.
2 o'clock today. The Glass Slipper. Now, this is a 1954 musical adaptation of Cinderella.
Right.
Yeah, Leslie Caron, Keenan Wynn. Always worth a look at. 5:30. You make your mashed potatoes into a big pile in the middle of the table. Do you remember that on your plate?
No.
No. Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. 1977, right. Directed by Steven Spielberg. Richard Dreyfuss, Terry Garr, the late Terry Garr.
Yeah.
8 o'clock tonight, Pulling the Wings Off Flies, Psycho.
Oh.
1960.
Right.
Yes. 10 o'clock tonight, Jailhouse Rock, 1957, okay. Elvis the Pelvis. Lever and Stoller did the music for this.
Oh,
they're
did
working
they?
On the yes. movie, and they changed the title several times. And then they realized we don't have the music yet. So they called Lever and Stoller. No, we haven't written anything. So the producer locks them in a room. Sounds like Rossini. We want songs. We want them right away.
One county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing. Let it rock, everybody, let it rock. Everybody in the old cell block was dancing to the jailhouse rock. Spider Murphy played his inner saxophone. Little Joe was blowing on the slide trombone. The drummer boy from Illinois would crash, boom, bang. The whole rhythm section was a purple gang. Let it rock, everybody, let it rock. Everybody in the old cell block.
So that was the big number. That was the best musical number he ever did. Is in that movie, and he jumped around and pranced around. Maybe yes. Not just that number. He knocked the cap off one of his teeth and he swallowed it.
Ooh!
It lodged somewhere in him. So they had taken him to the hospital for a day and halt the shooting.
Yowza!
6:48.
I'm going to be talking about Elvis later. Well, I'm just going to mention his name. Okay, yeah. Maybe not that Elvis, another Elvis.
Jailhouse Rock tonight, 10 o'clock on the Turner Classic Movie Channel. Sunday, 4 a.m., Blue Velvet. 1950, no, not that Blue Velvet. 1986, directed by David Lynch. World of Corruptions with Laura Dern and Dennis Hopper. 8 a.m., The Wonderful World of the Brothers Grimm. Fanciful, you got that right. Biography of the German fairy tale collectors. Lawrence Harvey. I remember thinking, Lawrence Harvey. Ay, ay, ay. Anyways, Claire Bloom, who ended up playing Doc Martin's mother. 100 years later.
Good.
Now, remember, this is from 1962, so the special effects will be 1962 special effects.
Oh, right, of course.
I don't complain. I want to hear complaints next week. 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I don't know if you've seen this movie. Sweet November, 1968. Anthony Newley, Sandy Dennis, Theodore McKell.
Can't say that I remember seeing it.
A woman refuses to let her romances last longer than a month.
Oh, dear.
Then she kicks him out.
Yikes.
Yes. So Anthony Newley does his best, of course. I know you're thinking I'm going to tell my Sandy Dennis story, but no, I'm not. I'm saving it for another time. So not that Sandy Dennis story again. 8 o'clock Sunday night, Sweet November from 1968. 6:50. Right, let's have a little laugh then, shall we?
Okie dokie.
The laugh starts, though.
I could always do with a laugh.
That born on this day, Jim Jordan, 1896, American actor, radio comedian. Fibber McGee is who he was. Fibber McGee and Molly. This is from 1944. I think Fibber wants to go to night school. We'll just have a little bit of it, shall we?
Good night. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
The swine. He's trying to take over from Fibber McGee and Molly. Fortunately, I think we can handle that. They're in here somewhere.
Spilled things wipe up in a jiffy. Johnson's self-polishing glow coat is economical. A little goes a long way. When a man has demonstrated that he isn't very smart in the daytime, there's only one answer: night school. And here, all excited at the prospect of Fibber's first evening of school, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Ah, this is for me, Molly. The three R's: reading, writing, and arithmetic.
The last time you went to school, it was running and wrestling at recess.
I was just a kid then. I didn't realize how important an education was. My gosh, I was 23 years old before I knew what was the capital of Guatemala.
What is it?
Capital G. I always thought it was Guatemala with a Q.
Well, I still don't quite get the idea of this sudden passion for learning.
You know why? I'll tell you why.
All right.
Because the other day, I and a bunch of guys were standing around the cigar store, and they started to talk about inflation. And I made a triple-plated, five-star, rhinestone-studded jackass out of myself.
How? This time?
Well, one of the guys turns to me and says, "What do you think of inflation, mutton face?"
Mutton face?
Yeah. They call me that on account of I always have a thoughtful look on my face like a sheep, and I usually need a haircut.
Well, what was your answer? The one that shook your self-esteem to its tottering foundation.
Well, sir, my gosh. With inflation, I didn't know from nothing. I had to bluff.
Yeah?
So I mulls it over in my mind a minute. Then I says, kind of cool and casual, "Well, boys," I says, "I think it'd be a fine thing for the country."
Well, what happened then, mutton face, or dearie?
Well, it was kind of confused for a few minutes. One guy snatches back the cigar he'd just given me. Another guy spits on my shoe and walks out. And the guy that owns the cigar store closes my charge account and tells me to beat it before he reports me to the FBI.
Oh, dear.
Never so humiliated in my life. My gosh, how did I know there was nothing to be said in favor of inflation?
McGee, with your gift for getting yourself out on a limb, you should have been a tree surgeon, you should.
Ain't it the truth? Well, anyway, that's one of the two reasons I'm starting to night school.
What's the other reason?
That's a secret.
Can't you even tell me?
Nope. I can't tell anybody. Now, let me see. I got my pencil box, my ruler, my registration card, my first baseman's glove.
What's that for?
Oh, some of the kids might want to play a little baseball at recess.
At night?
Oh, my gosh, I forgot that. Well, I'll leave my first baseman's glove here and take my flashlight. We can play Run, Sheep, Run.
What subjects are you taking, McGee?
Well, my particular curlicue consists of English, French, economics, and manual training.
McGee, you don't mean curlicue, you mean curriculum.
You better go to night school yourself, baby. Everybody knows curriculum is a style of architecture. The house across the street has got curricular columns on the front porch.
No, that's corinthium.
Go on. Corinthium is a flower. They wear corinthiums to football games.
No, McGee. We're all confused here. Those are chrysanthemums.
Well, then what's a curlicue?
A curlicue is a fancy little flourish.
Certainly. And if you don't think my going to night school is a fancy little flourish, Tootsie, you just...
Oh, hello there, Alice.
Hiya, Mr. McGee. Hiya, pup.
Hello, Alice. What's the cube root of 3,733,248?
72. Why?
Well, how on earth did you know that, Alice?
Creepers, I thought everybody knew simple things like that.
Not me, Alice. I'm dumb. Up till a few days ago, I thought a cube root was the bottom part of a box elder.
That's why he's starting night school tonight, Alice. And it'll be the first time he ever went to school that he got up in time for it.
Gee, are you really going, Pop? What are you taking?
Oh, a pencil and ruler, flashlight, a couple of jelly sandwiches, grape jelly.
Alice means what subjects, McGee? You know, in your curlicue.
Oh, what subjects? Oh, manual training. That's so I can finish a tabaret I started in the 7th grade. And English.
Basic?
I don't know what kind. Just so they learn me to talk it correct is all I care.
Fibber McGee and Molly Jim Jordan. They started off in about 1934, 35.
Ah.
Went through a variety of permutations until he ended up with Johnson's Wax, I say, as a sponsor. 1935, reborn as Fibber McGee and Molly.
We now heard some funny pronunciations on TV ourselves yesterday.
Yes, it was CBC, wasn't it? Yes. Arbuthnot Street.
Arbuthnot.
Yes.
I forget, there was another one. Oh.
656.
It was something around the idea of she went out and bought some things.
Just to make sure.
Bought.
Coming to town tonight, yes. 8 o'clock, and then Sunday, tomorrow at 2 p.m., Burnie Theater.
Yes.
Which is the Rowdy Jewish Community Center there, 123 Doncaster Street, the Susie Arioli Quartet.
Two broken hearts, lonely looking like houses where nobody lives. Two people each having so much pride inside, neither side forgives. The angry words spoken in haste, such a waste of two lives. It's my belief pride is the chief cause in the decline in the number of husbands and wives. A woman and a man, a man and a woman. Some can and some can't and some can. Broken hearts, lonely looking like houses where nobody lives. Two people each having so much pride inside, neither side forgives.